Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. In our last episode, we did some more exploring. We got a lot. Our bellies were full of adventure and exploration.
And sand. So much sand.
I hope you all left room for dessert. Dessert.
In my cracks or just in general?
I'm going to just leave it silent there.
I feel like I've been made fun of officially now. Thanks. It's not my fault I can't spell, okay? It's not my fault.
Oh, what?
Oh, you
what?
Didn't know? I went live on Twitch, right? And I'm like, we're going into the Gerudo Desert. But I spelled desert like dessert because I don't know
Yay.
How to spell. And so it's a into the Gerudo Desert. I thought you were making fun of me. Oh, no.
No. I was just making a bad pun.
No, well, it worked out.
Just throwing them dad jokes out. Yeah, one thing I wanted to say at the front, this is something, again, this is me. I'm hoping you all picked up on this too. Maybe it was something in Breath of the Wild I didn't pick up on. Gerudo? They all pronounce it Gerudo. Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't
even
remember
even
that
Ganondorf did. One. Yeah, even Ganondorf. I went back and listened to his scene that we talked about in a previous episode. And he said, representing the Gerudo.
Yeah.
So right.
Even, you know, it's not even that it's like that, you know, speaker, that voice actor saying it that certain way. They were guided to say
yeah,
it, to pronounce it that way.
This absolutely isn't a situation of like Zelda being British and no one else is British. It's mm-hmm. they told everyone like, hey, that R is like a flap in there. And so like you have to say the flap R. Which is what that like LR combo sound is called. Mm-hmm. So,
but that might be like, and I don't know, like an ancient accent. Like, have we heard Urbosa or Riju say that? I guess I don't know.
That's why I need to go back and listen. For whatever reason, I feel like Urbosa did not pronounce it that way.
I didn't.
But
think
Riju,
so.
Riju does. Riju does pronounce it that way though.
Oh.
Yeah, Riju does.
That's where it started.
I don't think Urbosa did, but I'm not positive.
And she would have been like the only person really doing that unless Zelda said it at one point. But it feels like it is a stylistic choice
mm-hmm.
to say, this is how we pronounce this mm-hmm. name going forward.
Zelda says Gerudo with a British accent. She does not do the flap.
Respectful of the other societies.
Are
Is
you
she
saying
with her pinky extended?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, all the time. Mm-hmm.
Only
like
when
tea,
she hits...
Tea in hand.
Tea in hand, yeah.
Pinky extends only when she gets to the Gerudo. So what you're saying is what I thought, how I thought it was pronounced, which I bring up on the Ocarina season back in middle school. Gerardo is not correct.
It's definitely not.
Okay.
That has been settled. No, we met up with Riju, and she was doing her training. We solved a puzzle for her. We raised this temple, and that is where we left off, entering the temple here.
It's a pretty big temple, like just on the map.
Yeah.
It's
very
that
large.
That is true. But unlike... I have trouble thinking of a game, a previous Zelda game that did something like this, where we had a boss, mini boss fight, a pre-boss fight, before we even get in the temple.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. So when we finished the last session, the instructions were, you know, get to the temple. And I thought, oh, I'll walk into the entrance of the temple. There'll be a warp point in there. And I immediately trigger this boss battle. And I'm like, oh, no, I have made a mistake.
At the end of the last episode, we also, the Mothala was, the name Mothala was invoked or invoked.
Yeah, with the flying, the flying little
Gibdos. Moth Gibdos.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was spot on, wasn't it?
Have
good
you,
job, Deegan.
Yeah.
So, have you ever considered, you know how you know we have our zombies, right? Have you ever considered maybe chitinous zombies? You know, with like a carapace on top of them, and also they can fly. Perhaps, wouldn't that be so interesting? Well, great news, yeah. That was here.
Is it established that Gibdos in this are corpses? Are like the fallen corpses? Because I'm thinking the whole time that okay, these are all just insects.
It's then. Not it's not said specifically, however, comma, like in dialogue or whatever, but they are all full of arrows and weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So
but that's just people that have tried to fight them in the past and have lost.
They also have internal bones.
External
internal. I don't think
insects don't have internal bones. So yeah, that's true.
They have outside inside bones.
They have outside inside bones.
They're outside
this
and
is
they're
also
inside.
True.
It's gross.
Okay.
I hate them.
Yeah.
Come for the Zelda, stay for the science.
They're not all that intimidating.
I'm bored of them already.
Yeah, like pretty quickly.
I think I said when I first saw them, I thought they were going to be redeads, and I hit them a few times and didn't know, like it didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I realized they were Gibdos, the fear dissipated.
Mm-hmm.
Because that first
encounter is pretty fun, but yeah, sorry.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting, I had the same thought because we saw these creatures in the trailers before. We didn't really talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone just assumed these were redeads, mm-hmm. so we were expecting that. I was expecting the scream, the paralyzing scream. We didn't get it. And
you didn't shriek one yourself the first time?
No, I don't think these. I mean, these things are like gross looking, but they're not.
Me.
They don't scare me. I'm too tough for that.
Right.
You're
the hero.
I was less scared of these than I was the first time I encountered the Gloom Hands. The first time I encountered the Gloom Hands, I like set my controller down and was like, I need a minute. I need to breathe. When I saw these Gibdos, I was like, this is weird. There's no scream, so it can't be that bad, right?
I was in town. Like, I was in a, desolate town. So that was kind of a fun way to first encounter them. But yeah, nothing much after that.
I would posit that the first time you dealt with, like, the baby frogs in the darkness and you didn't know what was going on, that could be something that was pretty scary.
That was scarier.
That would be up there, I feel like.
And the big frocks, where it was dark and I did not know what was going on.
Yeah.
I feel like huge things are slightly less terrifying. Like the big frocks wasn't terrifying just because it's kind of like large and goofy.
Yeah. But it was dark and I had no idea what was happening.
Gibdo, I pulled it up, the Gibdo listing in the Hyrule Compendium, just to see what it says about it.
It says
a monster that appeared along with the Sand Shroud. Though slow to move, they can fight without faltering to physical attacks thanks to their tough outer skin. On the other hand, they're vulnerable to fire and lightning, which can turn them white and brittle. So they're not specifically called out as corpses here either.
They're monsters.
They're monsters.
Right, that's the whole thing. They are monsters. Is a class of creature.
Sand right? monsters.
These are just the sand monsters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, Queen Gibdo.
Yeah.
This has been Gibdo talk.
Yeah. Right?
Your deep dive into Gibdo. They're not. They're not big mummy guys. So I can't hug them. I'm sad.
No, that is true. So Queen Gibdo is in this like pulsing cocoon in the front of the temple that when we break it with Riju's electricity, it starts a boss battle. And, I mean, it looked like anything, any other kind of big boss battle that we've played in this game of Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. And, you know, the strategy is really to use Riju's power to stun it, or mm-hmm. at least like get its outer shell off, the same yes. way we dealt with the Gibdos.
Yeah, expose the outer shell, and then start doing damage because it will have a secondary stun, sort of.
Right.
And then you can gang up on it.
Man, okay. I don't like this dynamic of your AI squad running around and me trying to be like, where's Riju? Riju, come here. I need to activate this thing. Get near me. No, what are you doing? No, why, Tolan, why are you blowing things? Stop.
Riju's especially tough
Riju
to pin down.
Riju moves too much. Tolan is always right behind you. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Riju mm-hmm. is up close near the enemy 9 times out of 10 because she's a close combat fighter with her 2 swords, but that's not helpful for activating her ability.
You know what is, you know what that is helpful for, and at least just fun as hell, is Lynel fighting, because Riju's right there when I hit the Lynel in the face, or Tolan hits the Lynel in the face and stuns it, and then I run up and I go, hi, and, you know, high five Riju, starting the thing, and by the time I'm done, you know, I hop on top of the Lynel and beat the crap out of it for a second, and by the time it throws me off, just shoot one giant lightning bolt in the back of its head. It's great, because she's 9 times out of 10 standing next to the Lynel. But when we're just, like, running around, and I see things in the distance, and she's not, you know, not ready to attack it yet, yeah, it's tough to figure out where she is.
Mm-hmm. And she's slower than us, too. So, like, we'll be running along, and she's, like, trailing behind rather noticeably, which is also frustrating.
And it doesn't seem like she deals with elevation as well. Which I think in the dungeon, there was a time where I thought she was like stuck below me. And then all of a sudden she just like fell into the frame, which was terrifying.
Yeah, she like ninja falls from the ceiling.
I ninja swam through the ceiling and it took her a while to catch up. She couldn't just warp right to me like Tolan.
So yeah, we do this battle. We only get, I don't even think it's halfway. I think it's like a third of the health before it does a little cutscene and leaves.
It's like a Minotaur from Hades situation.
Sure. I don't remember it, but it's fine.
You can sometimes run into him before he's the final boss.
Yeah.
So we go into this temple, which I didn't mention final. This. In the Stormwind arc, but when we get here, it says Lightning Temple, the mural's myth risen from the sands. And now I need to figure out what the Stormwind arc one was. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, I don't remember what the moniker given to the dungeon was.
Okay.
Or the Stormwind dungeon was.
Yeah.
Does this have anything to do with that? There was that kid in the shelter who was like having weird dreams or like made him like art on the wall. I don't know.
No,
I don't remember. No, I mean, it's because we got here from the mural that Riju pointed out.
The kid in the Gerudo town who has the mural, that's a different mural.
Okay.
Related to a shop. But the Wind Temple is called the Wind Temple, the Legendary Stormwind Arc.
Oh.
Not as cool.
Oh. Not as cool.
No.
Okay, so I was referring to it by its, like, legendary name.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
It's just
Got
the
it.
Wind Temple, and then this is the legendary name. I'm very excited to see what the other two are going to be.
Absolutely.
This is super cool.
But now, yeah, now, but that's the thing. I'm going to call the other one Stormwind Arc, and I'm going to call this Lightning Temple. Like, it just doesn't hold the weight. Like, Stormwind Arc is so cool.
It doesn't have a cool, like, name because it's a lost, like, temple that you find because of this other thing. So, like, without having its own moniker, the only thing it can be is the Lightning Temple.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Like,
we're in the temple.
If this was like the Colosseum in the Proving Grounds, that'd be different. But like, you know, it's not. So
we get into this temple, and there's a lot of running around what turns out to be like sort of the outer part of the inside of the temple before we get to like sort of the core.
It's this weird preamble to the actual dungeon.
Well, there was a preamble sort of in the last one.
But there was a cool preamble.
Yeah.
Where we ascended through the sky and then dove through a giant storm. This was the hallways.
Well, the equivalent to that one was us going to moving the light pillars and aligning the things and opening it up, in my opinion. Because so I guess the thing is, when we're exploring this, we keep getting updates of saying you're in Lightning Temple, one floor, you know, lower floor one or something like that. Mm-hmm. But then there's a room we get in the middle that is just called the Room of Ascension. Mm-hmm. And so it made it feel like we had a switch in there too, just like in the Stormwind arc. So I'm guessing that's going to be the theme of these. They're all going to have something that we're going to have to, they're going to make us explore different parts before we can activate this core area.
Mm.
But it felt like that is sort of where the temple started, you know, mm-hmm. in a way, mm-hmm. right?
I would agree.
I feel like the desert portion to get here was more like, hey, just so you know, light puzzles are going to be a thing, so be prepared for that. And then, like, the preamble into the actual temple, like, post-boss, mini-boss, pre-boss encounter to, like, when we get to the Room of Ascension, that was like, here's how the temple itself looks and functions. So, like, mm-hmm. you got the tool in one spot, and you get how the temple is going to work in the other spot, whereas with the Stormwind Arc, they were both in the same place.
So, how do we feel about the light puzzles? Like, BC, what's your take on these kind of puzzles?
I mean, I'm fine with the light puzzles. The thing that I don't like about the light puzzles is less the puzzles themselves and more how useless the mirror shields are. It just feels like they're not, if you could angle them in any way, shape, or form, it would be pretty cool, but it
feels like they don't want you to,
unless you're moving backwards or forward. So
yeah, very frustrating. 0 out of 10 experience. I hate the mirror shields. I would like to do anything with the mirror shields except what they want me to do with the mirror shield.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my like Wind Waker, like plop, like take a knee and just
exactly
angle it?
Mm-hmm.
I never did it at all. Like, I never attached a mirror to a shield that I had equipped.
Well, there are so many enemies in this dungeon that have mirror shields, that drop mm-hmm. mirror shields, that I assumed that they wanted me to use a mirror shield.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Which you don't have to at all. And it's actually disadvantageous to do so.
Right.
I mean, I've definitely gotten switches by dropping a mirror shield and just holding it out over a chasm to reflect into a light to get a switch. So
right. Yeah, I love them in theory. Like, you know, it is physics puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you can like dynamically, you know, it's not just a static thing where you press this button and then this thing happens. There is wiggle room in there where there's a couple times where you're like, I have to freely place this one mirror down at just the right spot so that it'll bounce the light off of here to go around this corner here or something like that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's okay at best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed the act of just like exploring the space and being like, oh, here's a sign right here. I'll just put a mark on my map to be like, be thinking about, I need light going in this direction. As I like, I didn't tackle anything head on. I just kind of did it as I found it. It was like, I'll need this later. Let's turn this on. Let's activate this. Ooh, let's go over here. And I liked stumbling around and finding all the pieces, but it's, yeah, they're light puzzles. It's fine.
So, like,
it's
fine. I know we go in and they're immediately like, these are the things. You have to find these things on your map, blah, 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 right? Like, that happens mm-hmm. every time.
Yeah.
I saw that. The map closed. I immediately forgot I had a map and did the entire thing without looking at the map once. And so I'm just like, where are these rooms? Why can't I find them?
I think aside from the light puzzles, what I really enjoyed about this dungeon is the, I don't know what you call them, the like fork in a light socket puzzles where you're just supposed to jam something in like a gear to make it stop. I don't know what it is about that that's so satisfying. Of just being like, hey, this thing is moving around. Stick a rock in it so that it doesn't.
The throwing a wrench in the machinery. Yeah. Right. Yeah, destroy the machine.
Pull the gear out of it. Just remove that little cylinder and then you're done.
We do come across the mushroom things here that drop the Gibdos. I was immediately just like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Since obviously Riju couldn't do lightning deep inside of this temple. No, she's doing whatever she wants. Yeah. Like, she doesn't summon lightning from the sky. I don't know what she summons it from, but she can do it whenever. I do also wish we could do anything else to damage those.
You can. You don't need lightning.
What is,
I just hit them with bomb arrows.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Huh.
So just whenever they open up and they do their little glow, when they're more glowy? Yeah.
If they're glowing, bomb arrows work. I haven't tried any other things, but bomb arrows, like, I didn't realize that lightning worked on them in the beginning, because the first time I tried to hit one, it was, like, not glowing with Riju's lightning, and then I was like, oh, it's kind of dumb that you have to use bombs on these.
Hey, you did it differently.
We
applaud you.
Do that.
I eventually learned, but
so I went in this temple and I was like, I'm gonna start at the top. I'm gonna work my way down. Right, that makes sense. I get all the way up to the top and I go, where do I go from here? Because I'm not looking at my map. My map no longer exists in my mind. I have no idea where I am or how to get anywhere else. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, what can I do? And someone in my chat said, use your special power that only you have. And I went, okay. And I ascended right into the boss room.
Yes.
I did that too at one point, and I was just like, but you can't, it doesn't start, right?
It doesn't do anything. No. Yeah, no, it doesn't do anything. Just the whole, the gated door in the middle just opens so you can get back into the temple itself. Which is so weird. Like,
how cool would it be if it actually just started?
I jumped up and I was like, oh, did I mess up? Am I about to be absolutely screwed? And so I jumped out, and no, I wasn't. It was just a big empty room with four mushrooms in it. And I was like, well, this is kind of lame. I kind of wish I could have just done it. Oh, well.
I did something very similar, but I accidentally ascended to the top of the building, which I assumed is where the boss battle would be like on top of the pyramid. And I'm like, the only thing up here is, what do you call them? Like some ore you can mine is the only thing I saw. Mm-hmm. And so I just went back down.
Okay.
You got the legendary Gerudo ore.
I'll come back and get that.
So like I said before, we have to go find four different lightning probes that are locked behind different things, and we gotta solve different puzzles. One of them, you can see it at one point, but you need to like go up above it, unless you were just happen to be up above it first. And then you got another laser Mission Impossible style drop down thing flying through. Although, was it fire? It wasn't lasers, right? Was it fire?
It was fire.
Yeah.
But this one, I don't know. The temple was okay. I didn't have any mind-blowing moments in this temple.
I saw multiple things in this temple in a way that I realized I don't think they wanted you to solve them.
But that's what they wanted.
Like, I think there were things where they... like, for instance, on the second floor, there's like a room you're supposed to go into and a puzzle you're supposed to do to shine light on something. And I basically died at one point, and I went back to the top, and it respawned two mirrors, but it kept the first mirror that I put down. And so I just used those two mirrors to point light down into the place where I needed it, and then, like, from the top, get light all the way down to the second floor, when really I was supposed to solve a puzzle to just shine light across the hallway.
So you found a new dupe glitch. Okay, you're a cheater. We get it. No, that's like I said, that's what they want, right? They want you to find all these different things your own way.
Then I felt really dumb because I got to the last thing. I did everything but the one on the first floor, and I was playing in handheld mode, so I couldn't see the difference in like the rock on the wall. Like I couldn't see that it was a different color, and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I had solved everything in the dungeon, but the thing on the first floor that you had to just pull out a rock from the wall. So I had to look, I was like, I gotta look it up. I can't figure it out. And it was just like, pull the rock from the wall.
I have a tip for you for that. Buy the Switch OLED.
I was literally thinking about that. It's like, oh, this is what the Switch OLED is for. Like,
that's what it's for the slight color variation.
There's a spot when we're coming in. I didn't see the rock at all in that.
You didn't smell what he was cooking?
No, I didn't see him coming. But no one ever sees the people's elbow coming. And there, so I went like back through the original path that like we had the long and winding path that we had to take to get to the Room of Ascension, and ascended through like a spot just like to the left of it underneath, and then I saw the brick on my way out.
It is so funny. There's times where you just do that and you're just like, oh, I'm outside of everything now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whoopsies.
The first thing I do when I get into a dungeon is check and see where all of the floors overlap in any spot, because I'm like, I'm gonna need to get to that spot and ascend through as many floors as possible in case, like, you know, there's just something hidden there. Because, like, yeah, with that ascend power, what can I break, please?
So it's funny that you all are talking about the map. I didn't use my map at all, right? Yeah. Like, I'm playing on the pro mode, and I don't even think about that there's a map in this game, like, for the dungeon. Like, in my mind, if I bring up a map, it's just going to show me the world map, and I'm going to be like, that's going to be useless. That's not going to help me at all. And so I never even think about it.
You and Tegan just not even looking.
Yeah, I just forgot it existed. Just out of sight, out of mind. I went, aha, map, good, yes. And then I left. It was just like, it was really like, I felt like my Link just went, this doesn't help, I can't read, and just threw it away.
It just, with how important it was in the last one, where like you were controlling the Divine Beast through the map,
mm-hmm.
I just feel conditioned to
sure.
To be in, you know, be staring at my map in this game.
After spending 40 hours or so in between this and the last dungeon, I haven't thought about it at all.
So happy that I don't have to control the dungeon through the map. You have no idea. It's so nice. I swear to God, every single time I play this game, I find a new way for this game to remind me that I struggle with conceptualizing stuff in three dimensions.
Oh.
And so whenever I'm like, I'm just like, the dungeon is static. It just sits here. I don't have to figure out how it's rotating around me anymore. Yeah.
That's great. Anything else in the temple before we meet this mysterious boss that'll be waiting for us?
Ooh, so mysterious. Did anyone get any cool pictures of enemies that maybe you hadn't seen outside yet before you came in this temple? No.
No.
I got a construct with a new horn.
There's a construct seen some... Captain Threes.
I've seen some gold ones. Captain Four, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Ooh.
Yeah. Captain Four has got a nice horn. It's got a good Captain Horn.
Yeah.
That's a nice horn. No, I didn't get any pictures. I gotta remember to do that. We could talk about it after the dungeon. I had something to put up there with pictures though. Let's go ahead and talk about this boss. Circling back around. We get up there.
Do we need to take a break?
No, we'll take a break after.
Okay.
After the dungeon. Yeah. we have the, it's going to be quick, I feel like, fighting the Gibdo Queen. It's the same battle that we dealt with before, just in a different room, with more mushroom things around us.
It's a nightmare.
More tornadoes.
More tornadoes.
More tornadoes.
More mushrooms. A mirror shield that ended up being completely useless when I thought it was going to be great.
I tried. Okay, so as we, if you destroy these mushroom things around you, which you really should, because otherwise you're going to be surrounded by Gibdos, light sources come through the ceiling there. And you can, like, those are like safety spots now, right? Like, you can go in there and the Gibdos can't hurt you. The Queen Gibdo can still shoot its, like, sand laser or whatever it has.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't
akin,
know.
It's akin to, like, Gibdo, Gliok, like, beam of sand.
Yes, it's just sand.
It's like Power Washing Simulator, but a sand blaster.
That's sand.
Yeah.
Power sanding. But, yeah, there's four of them, so you, I knocked them all out because I was just like, I don't want to deal with these Gibdos anymore.
I took care of them too because it's fun and I like picking up, you know, creature drops. So,
well, that's the thing. These didn't drop.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, these ones, like, they could have just come infinitely and they wouldn't drop anything. And I'm wondering if that's the thing, is that if they come from the mushrooms,
maybe
the first batch drop, but then they stop.
It's not even that. I think it was because it was a boss room.
Yeah.
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 I have so many Gibdo bones at this point. It's going to be a while before I need more.
Yeah. But other than that, we're repeating the same things. Like, they have a couple new tricks that they're using in this one, but unless you all did something differently,
no.
Just reuse electricity to take its shell off and then try to do it again to get massive damage to stun it. And then wail on it.
And then, pulled out, like, a really, really strong spear and just, like, melted it. It took two phases, I think. But I did spend a lot of time screwing around with the sand mushrooms because I thought I had to.
I gave up halfway through.
Bye, Tegan. Thanks for joining the season.
I didn't finish. No, I'm kidding. I gave
choo-choo.
Up trying to do the fight the way that I wanted me to, like, with Riju's power. Like, I got all the mushrooms and that was it. I was like, Riju, I'm never talking to you again. Go away. It's just like, I couldn't get a solid, like, arrow hit when her lightning was up and she was too far away, like, 90% of the time. And I just got real, like, pissed about it. And so I was like, fine. And I just bomb arrowed the thing until it fell apart. And then I put a flame Gliok horn on a stick and went, this is enough, and just flamethrowered it until it died. I was like, I'm done. I hate this. This is awful. Reaches the worst sage. God. Nightmare.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was. It was just, I just couldn't do it. It just did not click after, like, when it entered the second phase and started doing the tornadoes. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I want out.
Yeah, I think that was part of the reason why I pulled out the strongest thing I had and was just like, I don't care. It took me like a couple minutes to get this phase, like, to get this chance. Because, yeah, you're right. It, like, you have to trigger Riju and then survive the tornadoes, which I feel like Colgara's tornadoes, much easier to deal with than these.
Well, and also if Colgara's tornadoes, like, it didn't matter. Like, you didn't have to aim anything through them. It didn't rely on Tulin being there. But if the Queen Gibdo blew a tornado and it hit Riju while she was charging, that just nulled her charge because she went sprawling. So, like, she was in the wrong spot all the time. It was so frustrating. Just let me switch into her brain like I could do with, like, Medley and Makar in Wind Waker, and I'll just do the lightning strike myself, you know?
We'll give her the courage to use lightning.
Exactly.
BC, this pretty easy for you too?
Yeah, I mean, it's super straightforward. I eventually just instead of trying to get the two hits, kind of like Tegan said, and worry about getting or Riju getting swept, I just was like, all right, I'm going to pick, what is it, the flux construct, whatever the biggest flux construct weapon I had was mm-hmm. that I've been saving forever. I was like, I'm just going to use this until you die. And pretty easy. I do love the animation of the Gyarados flying into the sun and then just like incinerating. Yes. That was worth it. That's the best part of this boss fight for me.
When you did the final blow, did you say, get fluxed?
Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't know if I'll keep that in. So
As soon as it happens, like explosion. Yeah. And then you put put the coolest like Link hat head piece you have on and walk away.
The mushroom one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a cool one. I got a cooler one. But we're gonna go ahead and take a quick break. When we get back, we will see the aftermath of beating this boss.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back. We beat the Queen Gibdo, and we are treated to a heart container, as well as a cutscene. In this one, we see the Gerudo ancestor talking to Riju about, telling more of the story. I don't feel like we gained much from this information.
I feel like because of the nature of the game and the fact that you're going to, you can go to any one of these places at any time, you're not going to get a ton of story just from one individual boss fight. Because it was essentially the same story we got from the other person with a slightly different angle, because she told us about, like, oh, we created the Demon King, so now we feel extra responsible for stopping him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
That was, like, really the only main difference was the Gerudo ancestor being like, it's our fault. Like,
yeah.
Maybe it's, like, not directly our fault, but, like, this is our responsibility. This is a member of our tribe. This is our, like, we're the ones who, because he's the first, the male, like, we're the ones who historically put him in charge. It's literally our responsibility to clean this up. Like, we, everyone else has, like, a reasonable out. We do not. We have to be here. Like, and that was the only main difference between this and the Rito story.
There is, did you all know, I mean, BC, I know you haven't played beyond this at this point. So we're still going to talk about some stuff in the town and some other exploring things. Nothing like major story-wise. But Brian, Tegan, did either of you do the Gerudo balls?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I did.
No.
That story.
Yeah, that's some
is
real
so
story.
Much cooler than this cutscene.
Yeah. If you haven't done the eighth story, the eighth heroine quest yet, the eighth heroine quest, there was a similar one in Breath of the Wild, where a guy who was really into Link when he thought Link was a girl was trading shoes to you for different help, like with this eighth heroine story, because he didn't think it was like real. So we have that like historical precedent to like build on, and that makes this version, this like update to the eighth heroine's tale, very, very good.
Okay.
So good.
We'll circle back around to it. Yeah. I wanted to check that.
I do have those boots that he was giving us in this game, but not from him.
I got them without having to flirt with him. Ha ha.
Yeah.
So Riju gets her power. She gets her stone. she gives us the ability that is identical to what we got from Tolan, where she is just going to hang out with us now. We can have multiple people hanging out with us. So that's interesting. I was going to say cool. I don't know if it's cool yet, because it's kind of weird just having these AIs running around you at any time. Like, I think we've all played games where you have a party with you, and sometimes the AI does things that you're just like, why? What are you doing mm-hmm. right now? So we'll see.
It would be nice to have a button for them, but all the buttons are taken, and that's so.
And I mean, you had to go in and select it, so yeah, it makes sense that you'd have to do it from the menu.
I would say, I don't know, let us hold down the whistle button, because that almost feels like it fits in there naturally, right? Like mm-hmm. it's a call. You're calling out to someone. You hold down the whistle and it brings up a little
wheel.
And
then you squat.
And you can select it. Then you squat.
Yeah. It has to be two buttons, because this game has too many buttons, or doesn't have enough buttons for all the things it's doing. So you have to whistle, then squat.
But the storm has dissipated around the town now that we have taken care of the Gibdo Queen. Riju also says that Gibdo attacks have calmed down as well. So that's cool.
Yeah, at least in town. Mm-hmm.
She does say she has no more information for us in terms of what Zelda's current whereabouts, but she did just flat out be like, I did see a vision, and she was in the past. Do you think that was her in the past?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, wait, was that her Zelda in the past? And then she goes, nah, couldn't be. Right? Nah.
Nah.
Anyway.
There's a sage called the Sage of Time. Is there any possibility that they could time travel? Nah, that's too crazy.
They were wearing different clothes, so.
Can't be her. Yeah, impossible.
Can't be her. Nope, not possible. But this does leave us free to explore a lot more freely now, easily now. And there's a lot of holes to fall down into and some mm-hmm. caverns, some people to find. But I do want to talk about these orbs. There is a quest in the Gerudo shelter that you can talk to someone who... This is, once again, the Zelda series teaching me new words. Stella?
Mm-hmm.
One of them was talking about reading this stone carving mm-hmm. thing that was on the wall and talking about like what it means. But she called it a thing and I was lost. I was like, what are you talking? Is that the ball? Is the ball this stele? What is that?
Factor into these little, because I thought these were like the column she was reading.
Yeah,
she's
reading the column.
This is a quest that leads into that quest.
Okay.
This is actually like a series of like five different quests that you have to do.
Okay.
Talking to different people, helping other people, and then also helping her out with pictures of these inscriptions.
Okay. Yeah, because I couldn't... I'm missing two of the inscriptions. I could not figure out where they were.
There is a group of Hylians over in the bazaar that lost one of their people. Mm-hmm. And so
they
have one. Yeah. You can get their ball, but then everything else is in the Gerudo city.
Yeah.
A couple of them are in the shelter. All of those inscription columns are in the shelter underground, too,
okay.
by the way. You don't have to leave that area. You do. There is, like, one that's a little bit... You start to go into an underground area that's outside of it, but it's over there as well.
Hmm.
But you do have to get all those for her before she'll relinquish her orb.
Okay.
And that'll start
okay.
a new quest for her.
I see.
I
will say, this quest made me miss Magnesis.
yeah.
All the orbs are metal, first of all. Like, if you drop them or kick them on accident, they make that nice, like, ring sound that I was so used to hearing. But also, I realized Magnesis could reach further than Ultra Hand can,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very, like, having to transport all those orbs, I got very annoyed. I'm just like, it's so short, and I can't change the camera angle at all. I have to look where Hand is looking. It was very frustrating.
Yeah, the, like, vertical too. Mm-hmm. Ultra Hand does not. You can't lift things as high as Magnesis.
But yes, this is called, the quest line is called what, the Eighth Heroine? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Tegan, I'll let you go from here. Like, tell us,
no,
like,
I don't
what
want
we
to
learned
spoil
here.
It.
Well, I want to talk about it.
You want to
I think
talk
it's
about
awesome.
The spoilers.
Because the thing is, well, we're gonna have some spoilers, I guess. But the thing is, I mean, we're leaving this town. We're not going to be talking about this necessarily after this.
Yeah, I see. Okay. So, you get all the orbs. Put them all in the
We're little... not... Hang on. Well, Brian, I just want to say, we're not telling you anything you didn't already know, but it's more of just, like, having an understanding of how their society has handled this information.
Okay.
The answer is not. I sure haven't.
But if you still want to go ahead and remove your head.
All right, let's go.
So you get all the orbs, you put them in the little pedestal, as you do. They're color coordinated and simple matching. It's very fun. it opens like a secret hole in the ground, just like the one we saw in, okay. This is the kind of stuff
I didn't want to hear.
Okay.
All right, so it like opens a hole. There's a bigger orb that we then have to transport across the desert. to a second secret location.
With more orbs?
With more. We have only one large orb this time. But the large orb does have the like traditional symbol of the Gerudo Society on it. So like that's cool. You have to put
I'm an orb traditionalist, so
right.
that's good.
Yeah, well, this is the kind of orb you would really appreciate, you know? It's made out of stone. It's gilded. It's beautiful. You have to traps it all the way across like a different part of the, like, way out of town, put it in the special switch, and then you get to run along a different underground passage that's full of Indiana Jones-style traps, and then you find out the secret. And it's so wild when it is discovered. I'm not gonna say what it is.
I want to talk about it, though.
No, we can't talk about it. It's a surprise.
But we're never going to talk about it. That's what this show is.
Good. I want everyone to experience it themselves.
We could just say, hey, if you don't want to know about the...
Oh, yeah. If you don't want to know the secret, like, take your headphones off now. Skip ahead 2 minutes.
Jump ahead 5 minutes. Yes. If we don't want to talk about the secret. So, the Eighth Heroine was actually a hero. And it was it was Ganondorf. And what they have done is at some point, probably after the first time everything went wrong, they hid away his statue and buried it, and like literally buried it and tried to hide everything about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the Gerudos, like current Gerudos, don't even necessarily know about the whole 100-year thing. Mm-hmm. They don't know that this is a thing. They just know like there's some evil thing that's going on. So it's having, this is like the weird thing of coming into this with our knowledge of the Zelda series, and especially with the Gerudo, their whole thing is that every 100 years they have a male, but in this world.
No, it's not him. It's not him. It is a hero. What? It's not him because he's not allowed in Gerudo Town. It's not him.
No, he was the first, though. That's what they're saying. They're talking about, like,
yeah,
he was one...
he's an outsider from Gerudo Town. He is not a Gerudo. Outside Gerudo Town. He cannot come in. It doesn't matter that he saved our entire society. He can't come in. He's a dude. And so they do all this stuff, and they build these statues, and they're like, we're so... The seven traditional, like, Gerudo warriors are like, we're so sorry. This sucks. Here's your monument. We're going to hide it, and we're going to put a bunch of supplies here for you. So if you ever need our help, this is where you can come. And then they bury it all so that no one else sees it. And it's just like the seven heroines. Here they are, and maybe an eighth, but nobody knows. But nobody knows because it's not a Gerudo, and it's a dude.
Are we sure it's not a Gerudo?
Is it Raru?
Is it Raru? I don't know. Mm. It's not a Gerudo.
Well, because like the whole thing with the... with the arc was that, you know, some random Zonai came down and saved the Rito in their time of need. So did some random Zonai come down and save all the Gerudo village in their time of need?
That's quite possible.
Maybe that's what
it
is.
But it's absolutely
I like
not
mine better.
I like yours better too, but it's not. They specifically say he's not a Gerudo, which is why he can't come into town. Like, if it was like, this is the first Gerudo male and he did a thing, that'd be one thing. But it's like, this isn't even a Gerudo. Like, he can't come in. He is a dude and he can't be here.
Once again, me missing a few lines and ruining everything. Like,
you got so completely excited. Like,
I think I like my fanfic better.
I like your fanfic better too, but like, ugh.
Okay, any other things to talk about in the Gerudo Town before we move on? Any other memorable things that you did in here?
I went to the Secret Shop and bought some stuff.
Secret Shop's cool.
Mm-hmm. I got yelled at for not having any abs. They were just like, man, like, you're cool for a Hylian Vo, but like, you got no abs. No gains here.
There is a class that you can help the Gerudo talk to men, and I already had a mask on, but I guess that was the solution, is that you needed to have a mask to make it easier for them to talk to you. I was already wearing like a helmet, so
okay,
it just immediately just went through the scene as normal. I assume that's why.
Yeah, I did my hood up outfit because I was wearing the Gerudo like male, the Vo helmet. And it was like, I can't talk to him. And I was like, why can't she talk to me? It's like, hide your face. And I was like, okay. And I put my hood up and they were like, I can talk to him now. And I was like, okay. I guess like from that angle, you can't see my face with the hood up. So maybe.
I spent a lot of time in the desert just digging in caves and things.
Did you find our great skeleton?
I did find a great skeleton. I found two great skeletons.
I found
one in the depths and one in the sands.
Yeah, I found one in the depths and one in the sands. And the one in the sands had a mini-me, which is wild. Little,
it had a
small great skeleton, big great skeleton, and then small one.
I thought you meant a small link.
No, a small great skeleton. It was a big one and a little one.
So it was in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Which, like, I have the video of my double take and all sorts of stuff, but I just took it for a Stalnox. Oh,
yeah, I thought it was a Stalnox, too, until I found the tail piece.
Yeah,
but
so
it's the same. I can't find the head, but it's, like, it's the same body. It's the same thing. I'm like, where's the head?
Okay. Yeah, because I waited around at night for it to come to life, and I was like, cool, I get to kill another Stalnox. I need to get this off, you know, out of the way anyway.
It's a baby one. It's the exact same. It's in the same position as the big one, too. It's got the same, like, there's, like, this one, like, weird little fin bone that's, like, securing the big one to the ceiling, and, like, it's got that little fin bone sticking out of it, so it's, like, it's a small, great skeleton. Tiny one.
So I took the tail and I stuck a sword to it.
Oh no.
And I favorited that. So now I can bring up the baby's tail at any point and I will probably fix it to a, you know, boat or something. And it will be part of my my, you know.
Make it the ornament on the prow of your ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There behind Riju's throne, there is this like it's like the source of the water. And there's a top to it that has one of those sand, what are they called?
Sand seals?
The sand seal.
The sand seal. I made a vehicle out of that.
Yes!
I like made that my base and then put wheels on it.
That's
and I was
why
like,
it's there.
All right, here we go.
Did you go get a plushie from her room?
Yes.
You can fuse a plushie to your shield and then you just have a friend with you.
Aww.
Just take her toy.
I want it.
So we are told that Balera, who is Riju's like right hand Gerudo, right? Is it Vi? Is that how it is? I forget. Is it?
Yep.
Yes.
Men or vote? One of them. So right hand, her right hand Vi. She said, "I'm sending her to Lookout Landing to find out some more information about what's going on here. You'll go find her there." So that's telling us go back to Lookout Landing.
Mm-hmm.
When we do. I was hoping for, like, I don't know, some more, like, depths quest or something like that. But really, all I got from it is I went to talk to Pura, and she said go to Tarrytown. That's mm-hmm. what she told me to do.
She told me to go to two different places.
Okay.
Because when I went down, I was just, when I first went down into the Ips, I was just taking pictures of everything. And I mm-hmm. found the next statue she wanted me to find already on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, she's like, the statue, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, you mean this one? And she was like, yeah, you should go see where that goes. And I'm like, that's a different direction than Tarrytown, but okay.
Which statue?
That was Joshua, right? You mean Joshua mm-hmm. was doing that? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So Pura says Tarrytown, and then Joshua says, no, go over this way. And I'm like, all right. I don't know where to go now.
What we're going to do for the next episode is we're going to go and unlock the South Central Hyrule, which will give us the Great Plateau. There's going to be some cool stuff there. There's got to be, mm-hmm. right? That was such a big deal.
And the surrounding areas, but I've been dying to hang out there.
We'll unlock that region, do some exploring there, and... Yeah, you know, I do know there's a great fairy there too. Go check that out. Get your upgrades in there.
She's nice.
And do all that, and then we'll be back here and talk about it on Shadow of the Wild.